This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Melinda Pencava. Charlotte is one of five cities in a bidding war to host NASCAR tycoon Bill France's NASCAR Hall of Fame. An announcement on which city will get that is due in the new year. Estimates vary, but Charlotte is reportedly ready to pony up more than $100 million to build that Hall of Fame. This would come largely through a hike in the city's hotel tax, making the hotel tax in Charlotte among the highest in the country. But the payoff that Charlotte leaders talk about would be the money that NASCAR fans would spend in Charlotte. There are, on the other hand, skeptics who say that case is being oversold. In the run-up to the announcement next year, there's also been much speculation over corporate buyouts and secret meetings between the two rival NASCAR families. And so today, we're talking about the proposed economic impact of the NASCAR Hall of Fame and how it might fit into Charlotte's hopes of becoming a destination for tourists. Also, how the image of NASCAR itself has been made over in the past decade and how all of that plays into the Hall of Fame and just where it goes. We're taking your calls. Our number's 1-877-962-9862. That's 1-877-962-9862. And joining us now is Jeff McGregor. He is author of Sunday Money, Speed, Lust, Madness, Death, A Hot Lap Around America with NASCAR. Welcome to the State of Things, Jeff McGregor.
Thanks for having me, Melinda. Nice to be here.
Well, when we talk about NASCAR, for many people, there's an image that jumps to mind of what the typical NASCAR fan might be. And let's talk about that a bit, because this NASCAR Hall of Fame would be presumably drawing NASCAR fans. You make the case that a stereotype people might have of a NASCAR fan isn't necessarily so anymore.
Well, I think that's one of NASCAR's big promotional points over the last 4 or 5 years of its growth, is that it's no longer just a Southern redneck recreation. And they're very studious about making sure that their sponsors and potential advertisers understand that the fan base now is moneyed, that they are folks of the middle and upper middle class, that they represent a diverse demographic and geography, if not ethnicity. And so if folks in Charlotte are concerned that it's going to be a lot of guys with neck tattoos and a 12-pack under one arm coming to the museum, or the Hall of Fame, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Now, when you say moneyed, what kind of money are we talking about for that average NASCAR fan?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the figure is, but it runs somewhere around $50,000 a year as an average income. And so it's not the sort of Tobacco Road cartoon that folks have etched in their heads. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be brought out in any sort of public debate about whether or not you want to have the Hall of Fame in Charlotte. It really is quite a diverse fan base. I mean, if you go to one of the races in Southern California, I mean, that's very much a Rolex rather than a Timex crowd.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wonder if that's what NASCAR is banking on here, and why, as NASCAR spreads across the western part of the nation and its fan base and image is shifting, does that play into why perhaps Charlotte does not have a lock on being the NASCAR Hall of Fame? I mean, Charlotte's case is, you know, western North Carolina is where many would argue NASCAR had its beginnings, with some apologies to Daytona, and that there are many of the shops are nearby where the cars are worked on, the garages. But NASCAR is trying to broaden its image, and that could in some ways hurt Charlotte's chances?
Well, I think that's true up to a point. Yes, the sport has grown and it's spread steadily across the United States. But what NASCAR as a business is doing is they're sort of playing off Charlotte's institutional insecurities. I mean, Charlotte, let's face it, is a city with a lot of money that has grown quite wonderfully over the last 10 or 20 years, but suffers a certain amount of low self-esteem and has been going through kind of an identity crisis. Who are we? Why should we be a destination? We don't have a beach. We don't have mountains. Why would people come here versus Las Vegas? And what NASCAR is doing in sort of proposing that the Hall of Fame could be in some place as unlikely as Kansas City, is they're playing a little bit on Charlotte's worry that they'll lose the thing before they ever had the chance to get it. And that's, I think, one of the things the community has to understand about NASCAR is this is one of the savviest businesses in America of any kind, not just in the sports business. And they are willing to do virtually anything on their own behalf, as any business is entitled to be.
So, there, in other words, their case is that NASCAR has all of these cities chomping at the bit to host the Hall of Fame, but the cities have to come up with more than $100 million to build the actual museum,
exactly.
Et cetera.
I mean, if you look at the other halls of fame of big league sports, basketball, baseball, football, they are organically built in the cities that represent the origin of those sports, Springfield, Cooperstown, Canton. For NASCAR to make any kind of argument for Kansas City is absurd, other than the fact that geographically it becomes more convenient for folks who want to drive down from Oregon. It saves them, you know, 2 days driving or whatever. Charlotte, again, with all due respect to Daytona, represents the roots of NASCAR. And to even consider taking the Hall of Fame elsewhere is a little bit disingenuous on NASCAR's part.
We are talking with Jeff McGregor. He is author of Sunday Money, a book about NASCAR and its roots, and he's also a contributor to Sports Illustrated. Well, joining us right now by phone from Charlotte is Mayor Pat McCrory. Welcome to the State of Things, Mayor McCrory. Hi. I'm not sure if we have our connection here. Do we have Mayor McCrory there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm not sure if everybody can hear it. Can we hear the
Hello?
Mayor?
Hello?
I'm thinking perhaps... okay, we'll get to Mayor McCrory in a moment. We're having a little technical difficulty there in bringing him up. Well, back in Charlotte, Jeff McGregor, some suggest that bringing in more NASCAR isn't the image that Charlotte should be shooting for in any case.
Well, I don't think it. I don't think it should be the exclusive image, necessarily. You know, what I said before about some sort of self-image crisis on the part of Charlotte in determining what it's thought of in other places around the country was true of cities like Denver 25 years ago and places like Minneapolis 100 years ago. What does your city become? Why is it attractive? How is it livable? And I don't know that Charlotte wants to make its case to the rest of the world as we're the home of NASCAR, come see us, so much as they'd like to perhaps build a really diverse set of attractors, like a great symphony, some great museums. And I guess I'm not sure why that can't go hand in hand with the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I mean, I was sort of thinking last night, knowing that I was going to do the show, what's the most Solomonic answer to this? Well, if NASCAR is going to expect the community to pony up huge sums of money, would it not then be fair for the community to suggest to NASCAR, okay, we'll do this, we'll raise the hotel tax or float a bond issue and help you build this, but will you then not help us fund, to the tune of, say, $500,000 or $1 million a year, a great regional symphony? Or a terrific local theater, or a program in dance, or the arts, that would attract a different kind of tourist.
Well, that's an interesting approach, because NASCAR relies on sponsors for its cars. You'd have a symphony sponsored by NASCAR.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought there was some ironic justice in the idea.
I think so. Jeff McGregor is with us, author of Sunday Money, and I believe we have a connection to Mayor McCrory in Charlotte. Hello, Mayor Pat McCrory. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, first off, I did want to ask you, because Jeff McGregor made a reference a moment ago to perhaps there might be some, in his words, institutional insecurities on the part of Charlotte in aiming to the build-up to trying to get this Hall of Fame. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to that, first of all.
Probably insecurity is not a word to describe Charlotte. In fact, if anything, we are constantly looking to the future. You know, we have grown dramatically in the last 10 to 20 years, but what we are looking for are some unique niches that can help brand our city, as he kind of stated, which would bring more of an effort of travel and tourism. And one of the reasons we're doing this is not just for travel and tourism, but actually NASCAR is a major industry in our area, and it solidifies the brand of NASCAR investment. We have teams like Rick Hendrick who have 600-700 employees, and this isn't garage workers. These are high-tech engineers with incredible skills, and we think we can even recruit more industry, especially related automobile industry, because of the NASCAR teams that are in the Charlotte region and throughout North Carolina. So it's a combination of travel and tourism and really the auto industry and all the related industry, which is related to that industry. But we're also trying to come up with the concept of NASCAR Valley, not just for Charlotte, but all of North Carolina, very similar to the Napa Valley, where people would land in Charlotte like people land in San Francisco, visit Charlotte, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, our museums and restaurants and hotels, and then visit the other NASCAR facilities in a 100-mile radius from here, which would benefit the entire state.
That would rely on a lot of spending power by the NASCAR fans. So what would the NASCAR Hall of Fame bring to Charlotte? We hear of Charlotte spending more than $100 million toward this. I'm curious what the payoff is for the Queen City.
Well, the payoff is twofold. One is travel and tourism, not just for the city, but the entire region, where we would anticipate our low numbers are around 400,000 people per year. We're really following the model of not other sports museums. We're really looking at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Country Music Hall of Fame. This is not just going to be a Hall of Fame, by the way, where you just walk in and look at a statue. This is going to be extremely interactive, where you would want to not just visit once, but you would want numerous visits where you touch and feel and experience NASCAR as much as almost an amusement park type of concept. Then we'd also want the drivers to come here, because about 60 to 70% of the drivers live within 60 miles of Charlotte. Jeff Gordon would be living just two blocks away, in fact. So we anticipate travel and tourism and also spin-off industries as it relates to that and the automobile industry. And, it keeps the Rick Hendricks and the Everhams and the Earnhardts all in the region and gives them more motive to continually invest in the Charlotte region and North and South Carolina.
So in some ways, would the Hall of Fame be a hedge to make sure that at least that part of NASCAR stays in the Charlotte area? Is there any concern that they actually might go somewhere else, Kansas City or California?
Well, let me put it this way. There are a lot of other mayors, friends of mine. In fact, I'm at a mayor's conference in Charlotte right now, National Mayors and Cities Conference, and listen, the other cities are finally getting it. They see the big money in NASCAR. I mean, we get more financial hit from NASCAR than we probably do the NFL and the NBA combined times 10 because of the outside visitors. I mean, if you go to Rick Hendrick's small museum right on the Concord-Charlotte border, you have people coming in campers all throughout the year from Ontario and to just go look at a very small free museum. So it is a major. These fans are dedicated to the sport. And by the way, in advertising, they're probably more dedicated to their product that the drivers advertise than any other sport around at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Well, Mayor McCrory, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mayor Pat McCrory is a member of the checkered flag team that's been assembled by the state to carry out Charlotte's bid for the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. What do you make of this bid by Charlotte to become the home for the NASCAR Hall of Fame? A decision is going to be announced by NASCAR in the new year. We are talking with Jeff McGregor. He is author of Sunday Money, Speed, Lust, Madness, Death, A Hot Lap Around America with NASCAR. And joining us now is Jeff Taylor. He is a writer for the Carolina Journal. That's a publication of the John Locke Foundation, and joins us from his home in Charlotte. Hi there, Jeff Taylor.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. Well, I want to talk about the money aspect of this, the paying out initially to lure the NASCAR Hall of Fame to Charlotte. Charlotte is pitching this as something that can be paid for largely by an increase in the hotel tax in Charlotte. And you're skeptical of that approach.
Well, I'm skeptical because the evidence, it's funny that the mayor would bring up the Rock and Roll Museum in Cleveland, because that city spent $84 million on that project, and for last year, it topped the Census Bureau's poverty statistics and ended up having to lay off teachers and halt garbage collection. spending that kind of money on these big attractions in no way, shape, or form guarantees economic, you know, livelihood for a city. And then a lot of times it's in direct competition with things that you need to be doing, like roads and schools and crime, that sort of thing. And then when you talk about NASCAR, and it's absolutely correct to identify NASCAR as a tremendous money-making engine. They just signed a $4.4 billion TV contract, and they have another deal with Harlequin Romance to write a series of romance novels about race car drivers. These guys are absolutely brilliant at making money. So the idea that we're going to take $65 million in hotel motel tax money and give it to this fantastically successful, you know, entertainment corporation, it just doesn't make any sense. And I just, there's a real question of fairness, there's a question of priorities. And I basically come down and think that if the France family really wants welfare, then they need to get in line down at the Daytona Beach food stamp office and, you know, stop going around the country begging all these cities for money. It's just really unseemly.
Are there other considerations, though, in the Charlotte bid? Currently there are three races a year that are held there. Jeff McGregor, your take on this is, does Charlotte need to really make the push for this Hall of Fame in order to solidify keeping those races in the state? And we should mention that North Carolina used to have far more races going on here until NASCAR ditched a couple of those races in order to have more national races, more geographic diversity.
So, well, I think that, and that, you know, to me is sort of an indication of how fickle they can be, although they hammer the idea of tradition and honoring their past when it's convenient for them as a promotional strategy. They're not shy about pruning away those things that aren't earning well, and one has to wonder sometimes if their relationship with Charlotte for the Hall of Fame won't be sort of the same case. I think Jeff Taylor, you know, identifies a couple of really interesting problems. The first being sort of the idea that this one thing becomes a solution to whatever Charlotte's issues are vis-a-vis tourism. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has not helped Cleveland in any material way or in terms of its national reputation. The other thing is that NASCAR is a business. It's a family business. The Baseball Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, the NBA Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame, rather, those are sort of institutional. They don't reflect a single business. NASCAR, on the other hand, you know, they're not talking about building a stock car racing Hall of Fame. They're talking about building a NASCAR Hall of Fame. And why should the citizens of Charlotte be made to pony up an immense amount of dough on the France family's behalf?
But we did hear the mayor say that, you know, they're trying to make it the kind of place where people would want to go.
Yeah, but I think the mayor, with all due respect, it already is that. I mean, people are if you're saying to me that people are coming down here in their campers from Ontario just to see the lobby of the Hendrick Racing Organization, which, by the way, looks like the Swiss embassy, if only the Swiss had some real money. If people are already coming here, what's the further attraction of the Hall of Fame? I think that Charlotte's making an argument about getting this based on the fear that they might lose it.
Lose the NASCAR imprint of having all these other things going on there, too?
Well, I think that people come down. Just to explain briefly where I come by some of this knowledge, my wife and I spent a year in a motorhome following NASCAR. And between races, we lived in the Walmart parking lot in Mooresville, exit 36 on the I-77. And so we were surrounded by people who came to see the race shops, who came to see Charlotte, who came to the track at Concord. In any case, they didn't need a Hall of Fame to come to Charlotte. They wanted to be there already.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are talking with Jeff McGregor, author of Sunday Money, and we are talking as well with Jeff Taylor with the Carolina Journal, with the John Locke Foundation, about Charlotte's bid to become a NASCAR Hall of Fame. We welcome your calls. Our number is 1-877-962-9862, 1-877-962-9862. That's all ahead on The State of Things. This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. We're talking this hour about the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Charlotte is in the running among five cities to host that Hall of Fame. And we're talking about the economic impact on the Queen City. With us is Jeff McGregor, author of the book Sunday Money. Jeff Taylor is with us as well. He's a writer with the Carolina Journal and skeptical of the approach the city of Charlotte is taking. We should explain one way that the city of Charlotte says it will pay the more than $100 million to build this Hall of Fame, should it get that honor, is through raising the hotel tax. Originally, the proposal to pay for the arena in Charlotte, where the Bobcats now play, by raising taxes, was put to a public vote, and then the city overrode that and went on with building an arena. I'm wondering if the city of Charlotte may, if people there might be wary of another tax hike, or is this being seen, Jeff Taylor, as a tax on tourists anyway, so it won't affect everyday Charlotte residents?
Well, I think people are looking at this as yet another thing that the uptown Chamber of Commerce crowd, along with the mayor and the city council, is kind of foisting on the rest of the city, and it really does go back to the arena deal and several other things that followed from that, and that we're evidently under the operative feeling that we spent $265 million on the arena, and that's for basketball fans. So now we have to turn around and spend $138 million on a NASCAR Hall of Fame because we have lots of racing fans, and that's only fair. And then still another project planned for downtown is a $150 million museum and other arts projects. So we're right in the middle of kind of a spending spree, almost kind of a frenzy, to get these projects up under the theory that they will somehow, make Charlotte a destination location, that magical phrase that everyone seems to think is the key to having a successful city. And as we see over and over again, whether it's convention centers or aquariums or what the minor league baseball teams, you pick the fad of the year almost. A bunch of cities run out and build these things, and then they're stuck with millions of dollars of debt that basically they can never recover from. Or they have these dedicated taxes, ticket taxes, parking fees, hotel motel taxes, restaurant fees, pick your little pot of money, and that's what you end up with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We go now to Jim Hobbs. He is president of the North Carolina Hotel and Lodging Association. Welcome to The State of Things, Jim Hobbs. Hello, Mr. Hobbs.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hi there. Well, will the NASCAR Hall of Fame increase business for your industry in Charlotte, in the Charlotte area?
Well, we expect that there would be a short-term bump in business there. The museum does come to Charlotte. That is certainly a feeling that's held by the hotels here in Charlotte. Long-term, I personally have doubts about what it will mean to the Charlotte lodging community that's going to have the responsibility for collecting the money to pay for this.
No, what do you mean by that?
By long-term?
Yes.
Charlotte, if you've looked at the analysis of the number of visitors per year, Charlotte basically has the lowest among the real contenders, or the cities that have been cited as the real contenders. In terms of attendance, its geographic location is certainly a plus, and at the same time, it's not really in the major markets that NASCAR appears to be looking for. And this is an important point that I don't think has been made. There are certainly true NASCAR supporters down in the Charlotte area. We've met them, we've talked to them. But from a city perspective, and Mayor Pat McCrory could comment on this, there has been the investments that the city has made in travel and tourism facilities, the convention center there specifically, just simply have not turned out to produce the numbers that they had hoped for. And it's my opinion that the NASCAR Museum and its location immediately adjacent to the convention center downtown and the plan to add a ballroom immediately adjacent to the convention center that's part of the NASCAR complex is really an effort to shore up the investment the city has made in the convention center there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's exactly correct.
Is that Jeff McGregor or Jeff Taylor?
That's Jeff Taylor. It really is a question of throwing good money after bad. And we're ending up a situation here because we have the convention center and it's not working out. We're going to spend even more money to try and build attractions around it so we'll have more convention business. And at some point, we just have to say, wait a second, is this really going to work long term?
Okay. We go to Craig now, who joins us from Fort Bragg. Hi there, Craig.
Hey, how are we doing?
Fine. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I just like to comment. I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for about 5 years prior to joining the military. And every single day I sit here in Fort Bragg, I long to go back to Charlotte. It's just a beautiful city. And I have to agree with one of the Jeffs, excuse me, I was trying to listen in, in the fact that Charlotte doesn't necessarily need to have the NASCAR Hall of Fame. However, being in front of the service industry prior to joining the military, I will say when the Carolina Panthers showed up and then the Bobcats moved downtown, we made a lot more money on the service industry side because we had people come to see that, people come into the restaurant, cabs, and what have you. So in the broad aspect of things, I believe that the Charlotte or the NASCAR Hall of Fame would bring a lot of money into Charlotte, more so than the other teams and places do as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what promoters have said, among others, the mayor, that they need to have these other attractions downtown in order the sum of the parts will bring more people there. I'm wondering, Jim Hobbs, if you have any argument with that. If you have more things for people to see, wouldn't Charlotte become more of a destination tourism spot?
You could certainly argue that, Melinda, and it's very difficult to put forth anything reasonable, especially someone that's in the travel and tourism industry, coming from someone in the travel and tourism industry, that would not be the case. I would do wish to add here, we keep talking about Charlotte paying for this. Very important to understand that Charlotte is really asking the citizens of the rest of North Carolina and from across the country to fund this NASCAR museum on their behalf, because it's going to be the visitors into the city who stay in the hotels, and the hotels will collect this additional 2% occupancy tax from them. Charlotte and the reserve fund that is constantly gets talked about for the convention center expansion, that basically came from occupancy tax revenues in the past. And so it's not going to be the citizens of Charlotte that are paying for this museum. It's going to be others from across the state of North Carolina and others from out of state that are going to fund this facility for Charlotte. And it's one of the problems we have with opposing these occupancy taxes, fighting them at the General Assembly, is that many legislators do see it's not a tax on us, it's a tax on somebody else.
I wonder if one hears a 2% hike, and that's 2 cents on a dollar, 2 cents here, 2 cents there, but already there have been taxes put on hotel rooms in Charlotte. At some point, is there a breaking point on slapping those hotel taxes? I wonder if Charlotte tries to be a convention center, if those who are organizing conventions look at the cost that would be incurred by getting blocks of hotel rooms and then get a little sticker shock by seeing more than 15% tax on the rooms. I mean, can that come back to hurt for getting more other tourists into Charlotte?
Absolutely, Melinda. We, in the industry, we refer to it as the glass ceiling. Nobody knows where the glass ceiling is for any particular location. I mean, you can study it. You can make arguments for it. What is the glass ceiling on these taxes? For your listeners, it's important, you know, we talk about these taxes in increments, but it's more important to talk about the total tax on overnight accommodations. And if Charlotte were to be successful in landing the Hall of Fame Museum, the General Assembly has given them the authority to raise their occupancy tax or hotel tax by 2%. But what your listeners need to understand, the total tax on accommodations then become 15.5% in the Charlotte market, and that is the highest on the East Coast of the United States. It would be the highest on the East Coast of the United States. Now, there's some people that would argue that Charlotte has lower hotel rates than, say, Washington or Atlanta, and so the higher taxes are not going to be that much of an impact. But each time these taxes go up, there's been several studies out there that there is a definitive loss of market share for the cities. that's impossible to recover over time.
And you don't think that could be, that gap could be filled by the NASCAR fans that the promoters are saying would come to town?
No. You're broader. They're talking about 400,000 fans a year that would come to the NASCAR Hall of Fame Museum. Once again, that's one of the lower attendance numbers amongst the competing cities. And you could do all kinds of statistical analysis of how many of those people would stay in hotels, so on and so forth. But the national studies would indicate the entire market is likely to lose the same number of rooms, because you will have individual leisure travelers and groups that will ignore the Charlotte market because of their higher taxes. Now, these case-by-case studies that we've been involved in and looked at, they produce different results in different areas. I'll be the first to admit that. But overall, on a national level, when the taxes go up, you lose a certain part of your market share. You may replace it with a new facility, attracting new people to come in. But it's pretty much a trade-off overall.
And finally, this tax would eventually sunset, correct?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
The tax would eventually go away once it's all paid for? And when would the NASCAR Hall of Fame be paid for?
Well, interestingly, we talk about the Oxy tax would fund $65 million of the total $100 million or $137 million cost that we've been told about at this point. But it's not $65 million. It's roughly, in today's market, it would be about a total of $110 that this 2% Oxy tax would fund over 30 years. So, yes, the General Assembly, when they enacted the legislation, said when the museum is paid for, the tax goes away. But we're talking 30 years from now.
Okay. Let's go to the phones right now. Mike joins us from Wake Forest. Hi there, Mike.
Hi there. Hope your hotel tax isn't like Wake County's, which includes hotels, fast food, prepared food, and also rental cars. So when I get my bacon and cheese biscuit in my rental car, because my car's in the shop, I'm also paying for the convention center. But I'm wondering if NASCAR isn't going to suffer from what I think is like the Krispy Kreme syndrome. It's eclectic and eccentric, and it's being so sterilized that I think the appeal for it is going to drop off. And unless this Hall of Fame devotes at least 50% of it to the moonshine runners that caused it to become such an interesting item, and change that oval track into a figure eight, I think it's going to be, we're going through an era here, and we're going to be dropping off where everybody's got their own little aquarium up and down the East Coast.
Right. Well, Jeff McGregor, is there a risk of just trying to oversell NASCAR?
Oh, certainly. I think there's always a risk with an expansion this fast of an equal and proportionate contraction in the public's interest. Right now it's on the cutting edge of the American consciousness. Who knows if that'll be the case 5 years from now? But it's been interesting listening to folks talk about this. I don't think cities get conventions on the strength of one attraction. I think conventions, whether it's a political convention or a business convention, are booked on the strength of a lot of attractions. Great cities get great conventions, and I think that's the short-sightedness here, is that one thing is going to be the magic bullet that suddenly attracts the rest of America to Charlotte. The other interesting thing is, if you think about Charlotte as a commercial center, the people who are going to bear the brunt of this additional hotel tax are business people. The folks coming in and out of Charlotte who sort of throw down the money to stay at the Westin downtown or whatever, those aren't tourists, those are business people. And they're coming into town to have a meeting for a couple of days at Wachovia. So really, it's a very regressive corporate tax in a way. So I think there's so many elements here that aren't being talked about. And I go back to the argument that was going on when we were living in the Walmart parking lot. You all were having a public argument in Charlotte. Do we build an arena now that we've lost the team? And so what wound up happening was you lost the team, you built the arena, you got another team, and now the Hall of Fame discussion is being had based on those institutional insecurities. With all due respect to the mayor, I think you guys are worried about not being thought of as a great city.
Well, a question for Jim Hobbs, which you just brought up again in talking about staying in the Walmart parking lot. Jim Hobbs, is there some kind of irony that you see that there's at least a block of NASCAR fans that do stay in RVs in the parking lots and would not necessarily be using the hotels that where the tax is being raised to pay for the NASCAR Hall of Fame?
I am certainly not an expert or even really intimately familiar with the demographics of NASCAR fans, but, and maybe this is being too general, but when this was being talked about, a lot of people discussed that, you know, the downtown Charlotte location and the typical NASCAR fan were not synonymous. The downtown location where the museum is going to be there, and there was PR coming out of Charlotte about all their four-star hotels downtown, and they have some great hotels in downtown Charlotte, but that did not fit the image that most of us have of NASCAR fans. Now, I heard one of the guests talk about how NASCAR is trying to transition into perhaps a more upscale, or whatever the word is, fan, to broaden its fan, in an effort to broaden its fan base. But there are some inconsistencies here with as the RV fan who drives in and does spend two or three days touring Lowe's Motor Speedway and the shops in and around the Mecklenburg County area.
Right.
But it is an inconsistency.
Right. And we will have to continue that debate coming in the new year. An announcement is expected from NASCAR officials about which city gets the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Thanks to all of you for joining us. Jim Hobbs, president of the North Carolina Hotel and Lodging Association. Jeff Taylor, reporter for the Carolina Journal. And Jeff McGregor, author of the book Sunday Money. And our thanks also to the students in Patrick Conway's Economics of North Carolina class at UNC Chapel Hill for their help in today's show. That includes Matt Smith, Miles Wynn, Catherine Haynes, David Pulliam, Stephen Hain, and Caroline Henderson. Thank you for listening. If you have a comment about the program, our email address is sot@wunc.org. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Melinda Pencava.